Welcome to this five-part devotional titled, What Happens Next? In this devotional, we're going to be talking about some of the experiences that happened after the resurrection of Jesus. All five parts will be posted to our social media, so check it out. We hope it encourages you and we hope it blesses you.
Hey, welcome to day four of our devotional, What Happens Next? And like we've been sharing over the last few days, we're talking about some of the experiences the disciples had after the resurrection of Jesus. And today is no different. We are going to pick up our story in John chapter 21. And we're looking at verses 1 through 14 today. And I love this part of scripture because there's times in scripture where certain things happen that so align to what we experience today as human beings and what we experience today as Christians that, you know, it helps to make things more relatable. And so there's so many different stories in the Bible where you could read it and it applies today. And today is no different. And so I want to share just really briefly about some of the disciples and their experience, you know, even after Jesus had appeared to them two other times. So we see him appear to them after the tomb once in the upper room when they were fearful, but then also a second time when Thomas joins them. And so I want to share a little bit about what happens even after that experience. And for those of you watching, if you're watching on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or even our website, we'd love for you to share it with someone. Again, if you're watching on our website, you can actually download a guide to follow along, not just with today's devotional, but with previous days' devotionals as well. So feel free to download that, share it with friends, whatever you want to do with it is up to you. But let's jump in for today. And in today's lesson, if you will, from John chapter 21, here's what happens. Let me summarize really briefly for you. So the disciples, they're having a moment where after Jesus has appeared to them again, I think they're having a moment where they just don't know what else to do, right? Have you ever been stuck in that position where you're experiencing something and you just don't know what else to do? You don't know where to go next. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't feel like you've gotten any instructions. Well, I think that's where the disciples were at. And so they're having this moment where they're unsure of what needs to happen next. What do they need to be doing? And so they do what we often do, and it's not the best, but we do it and they do it too. What they do is they go back to familiar territory. So they go out and they go fishing again. Not only do they go fishing, but they go back to Galilee to do that as well. So twofold in the way in which they go back to their old habits and their old ways. But as they're out fishing, Jesus shows up on the scene again. And he just asked them a simple question like, yo, have y'all caught any fish? And I imagine Jesus is on the other side of the beach. And so he's yelling out to them, have you caught any fish? And of course they respond. And of course we would respond in the same way when we're doing something without Jesus. And we say, no, we haven't been successful without you, Jesus. No, we haven't, you know, progressed. No, we haven't done anything new because we've done it without Jesus. And so the disciples are having the same experience of going back to their old habits and not really making any ground, not having any progress, not having any success, even though they thought like, man, We've done this before. You know, so we're experts at this, but they weren't able to catch anything until Jesus shows up on the scene. And what I love about the disciples in this moment that really contrasts how they responded earlier on is that in this moment, when Jesus asks them, have they caught any fish? He gives them instructions and he says, hey, put it out on the right side. And this is kind of twofold, right? Because I see it as the right side of the boat, but I also see it as do it the right way. And so the disciples have this moment where Jesus is instructing them, hey, do it this way, put it on the right side. And when they do that, of course, they have success. And so I love that this moment happens for the disciples. And then from there, Jesus just really breaks bread with them. He has breakfast with them. He sits them down, has them bring over the fish. And the Bible says they caught 153 fish. And it was such a large catch that it was so heavy to move the nets and to carry the nets over that they had to put it into a boat. But what I love that that the Bible says is that the net did not break. So they caught such a large amount of fish. And the significance of the Bible saying that the nets didn't break, I assume, is because in any other instance, the nets probably would have broken and they probably would have been at this capacity. But with Jesus in the equation, it gave the disciples, you know, more capacity than they could have experienced without Jesus. And we'll get to that idea of capacity shortly here, but I love that the Bible details that the nets did not break. And so like we've been doing in some of these devotionals and really throughout each of the devotionals over the last few days, we've been sharing some takeaways. And so today what I want to do is I want to share some takeaways as well. And so the first takeaway that I have from this text of scripture is very simple. It says this: don't go back to the familiar because of the unfamiliar. I love that. Don't go back to the familiar because of the unfamiliar. And here's what I mean by that. The disciples were having a moment where they had experienced Jesus's resurrection. They had experienced Jesus deputizing them and giving them, you know, the Holy Spirit. And so they had all of this high going on, probably this adrenaline rush, and it probably felt unfamiliar. Have you ever been given something, maybe, you know, responsibility, and you thought you were ready for it, but in actuality, maybe you weren't. You still needed some instructions. You still needed some guidance on how to carry this newfound responsibility. This is what I feel like the disciples were experiencing. They needed some instruction on how to carry this responsibility. And ultimately Jesus gives it to them. But in this moment, I think they were just kind of stuck. So because it was so unfamiliar to them, they went back to the familiar thing. They went back to their old habits, their old ways, their old stomping grounds. They went back to their old territories. And the funny thing is, they got old results. And so this is the encouragement for you today from this takeaway. When you go back to the familiar because of the unfamiliar you're experiencing, you're going to get familiar results. And so without Jesus, think about how your life was. You know, there was no peace. There was always stress. There was always this fighting and struggling, and you weren't moving forward and there was no progress. But when you found Jesus, things started to change. And yes, it might feel unfamiliar in the moment, and you might have moments where it's like, yo, I thought things were going to change instantly, and I thought things were going to get better instantly, and maybe they didn't. It's probably unfamiliar territory when you thought it was going to be much different. What I would say and what I would encourage you to do is don't go back, because if you go back, you're going to get the same results. There's this famous quote, and I might mess it up, but it's all right. But it's this quote of, you know, if you always do the same thing you've always done, you're always going to get the same results you've always gotten. And this is no different. So the disciples have this moment of going back to the familiar territory and their familiar secular occupation. But they get the same results. They come up empty. They get nothing. And so we might find ourselves in the same unfamiliar position. But what I would say is stay locked in, stay committed to this new path that you're on, whether you just found faith and maybe prayed a prayer of salvation recently, or whether you've kind of awakened to this idea of relationship with Christ rather than just religion or rules and regulations. Wherever you're at in your faith, stay committed on the path. Don't go back to the familiar because things right now seem unfamiliar. I'll share this with you because it's so important. And I heard it actually from my cousin who shared this with me as I was going through some things that were a little unfamiliar for me. But he said, look, the mantle is heavy when you first try to put it on. But you develop muscle to be able to carry that over time. And so while the mantle might feel a little heavy and a little awkward right now, as you're walking this new thing out, whatever position you're in, it might feel a little awkward and it might feel heavy and weighty and like you can't handle the responsibility, but stay committed because eventually you will develop the skills, you'll develop the wherewithal, you'll develop the muscle to carry that unfamiliar responsibility. Stay committed. And here's the next takeaway that I get from this text. is this, is that even when you can't see him, trust Jesus. I'll say that again. Even when you can't see him, trust Jesus. So even though it might not feel like he is present, even though you might not see his hand at work in your life, trust Jesus. And here's where this takeaway comes from, because in this text of scripture, the disciples don't notice that it's Jesus on the other side of the beach calling out to them. They have no clue who this person is. And so they can't see him. And even in this time, you know, it talks about daybreak. And so back in that time, when you mentioned anything about daybreak, it basically meant that it was still nighttime, or it was on the cusp of day and night, or night and day. And so they not only couldn't they see him physically, but they also were on the other side. And so they couldn't see that it was Jesus. But what I love is that they still followed the instruction. Even though they couldn't see him, they still followed. When Jesus said, put out on the right side, they put out on the right side and they followed his instruction, even though they couldn't see him. And so even though you can't see what God is doing behind the scenes, trust and believe that he is working behind the scenes, and he's doing extraordinary things on your behalf to help you, to push you forward, to help you with this new walk. So even though you can't see it, trust him, because where we find the best results is when we are trusting Jesus. If you notice, the disciples, they didn't catch anything without Jesus in the equation. But once they trusted Jesus, once Jesus showed up on the scene, gave them instructions, and they followed those instructions, everything changed. And so that's a little bit of what we have to look forward to, is that even though we can't see him, when we trust Jesus, regardless, things begin to change for our good. And that's the essence of faith, that even though you can't see him, you are still trusting him. And so I encourage you with that. Take instructions and take your lead from the disciples. They didn't know who it was. All they knew is that they were given some instructions, and it probably sound good. Like, they probably were like, yo, we didn't try this yet, so let's give it a shot. They trusted Jesus. They put their nets out again, and they caught this huge catch a fish. And so we're not catching fish, but what we are able to catch is, we are able to catch the voice of God. We are able to catch the instructions. We are able to catch our marching orders. We are able to catch favor when we trust Jesus, and grace and peace and all of that comes with it. So trust Jesus, even though you can't see him. And here's the final takeaway. The final takeaway is this: learning to follow Jesus increases your capacity. Learning to follow Jesus increases your capacity. And I think this is also twofold, because it not only increases your capacity as far as receiving, but it increases your capacity as far as carrying. And so when you're learning to follow Jesus with that new responsibility on you, Jesus is no doubt going to help you in carrying that weight. He's going to help you in living out and walking out those responsibilities. But not only that, he's going to increase your capacity and enlarge the territory of your tent, so that you're able to do more. Not only that you're able to carry more, but that you're able to do more, and that you're able to receive more. When you are learning to follow Jesus, he just kind of helps you along the way in understanding what things you need to move out of the way, what things you need to now change in your life to be able to carry this new weight or to receive more of his blessing. And so that only comes when we've learned to follow him. What I love in this text of scripture is that Jesus doesn't teach with words. He doesn't teach with his familiar parables. He doesn't tell a story. All he does is shows up on the scene and he gives instructions. But what he's doing is he's teaching them a lesson, almost like this silent sermon, as Stephen Furtick would put it. It's a silent sermon in which Jesus is just giving instructions. He's not telling them the consequences of not following his instructions. He's just giving instructions. And in doing so, the disciples are learning an important lesson, that when they follow Jesus, when he gives them instructions and they respond, things begin to change. And even think about this from this angle. Peter himself, John identifies that, hey, it is the Lord who's actually giving us these instructions. And Peter springs into action. He jumps into the water. And we've talked about this a little bit with Peter, in that early on when we identify Peter in scripture, we notice that he's hesitant or he's pump faking. But now in these latter moments in scripture, we notice that Peter is just changing his approach, and that he is jumping in and he is all in. We saw this at the tomb. Even though John got there first, Peter goes in first. And so in this moment, when John identifies, yo, that's Jesus, Peter jumps in the water. And again, I think he's having this moment of, you know, this flashback of being in the water with Jesus the first time. And in this time, he is abandoning everything and he is jumping and going all in and following the instructions of Jesus. So what I believe, and the encouragement that I want to give you, is that when you learn to follow Jesus, he is just going to increase your capacity. He's going to enlarge your territory, and he's going to allow you to do and carry a lot more. Hey, there's this quote that I wanted to share, and I got to bring it up here, but it's really simple. It says, "May the time be short between God's command and our obedience." Let me share that again. May the time be short between God's command and our obedience, meaning that when God gives you instructions, when he asks you to do something, respond immediately to that thing. Don't wait. Don't waste time trying to figure out, you know, is this really you, Lord? Because I'll tell you what, one way that you can tell if what you are hearing and what you're receiving is coming from the Lord is if it aligns with scripture. If you filter it through scripture and it makes sense biblically and from a Christian perspective, and it does not contradict God's character, then it's your best bet to follow those instructions and move swiftly. And what I love is that the disciples show us that, and Jesus responds to their obedience by just blessing them with this large catch of fish. And in this moment, Jesus is teaching them a lesson, and he's teaching us a lesson as well. So, hey, I hope that resonates with you, and I hope you kind of play that back and get really the fruit of what God is speaking in this moment. And if you are being challenged right now with trusting Jesus and following Jesus and responding to his commands, let this be a lesson, and let this be like your next steps. That if God is calling you to do something, just in the same way that he called you to faith and you responded, respond to whatever God is doing in your life, and just watch as he increases your capacity and increases your ability to carry this new weight and receive, you know, all the more from him. So again, praying blessings over you and your family. And I just pray that your week and your day and your life is blessed in Jesus' name.